But it was very commonplace in ancient societies, and even like the Greek civilization was based on slavery. Roman civilization was based on slavery. Egyptian society was based on slavery as well. So it's about how they're so uncivilized that they had such an institution. But then we see that even a few hundred years ago in America, they had slaves as well. So it's very recent, in fact. And then they took it as a fact. It's okay. Yeah. And then they had a big civil war in America, and then finally they decided, okay, it's not okay. So the idea has been prevalent in human society, and now in the present time, then we say, no, it is wrong. But for so many thousands of years, people were accustomed to this, and it became like a habit, and everyone was used to it. They didn't think anything was wrong with it. So that's just one example. Of course, we can think of many other ways in which society changes, and then the attitude changes, and then what was right at one time becomes wrong at another time. It's a very interesting thing to study in history, how things change. Even, for instance, women couldn't vote before the, I think, 19-something, 1920 or something, they had no vote. And in the Catholic Church, women didn't have souls until maybe, I don't know, 1000 AD or 1500 AD or something. Women had souls so, in the Catholic Church. So a lot of things change over time, and we think they're commonplace now, but they weren't. It was just accepted as something else previously. So, therefore, what is the actual truth? It is difficult because we are conditioned to certain things. Of course, the big illusion is that everybody's in the material world and we think we're a body. This is another big illusion that is pervading everything in the material world, and nobody realizes that also. And that nobody notices it. So it is, and yet, it is a falsity. And the longer we continue that false identification, the longer we cause problems and suffer in this world. So we do have to, at some point, discover the truth of not only soul and body, etc., but other things as well. But how do we do that? As I said, we base our everything on our present perceptions, and we think these are right. Everything previous to this was wrong, or could be wrong, and therefore we're more advanced because we have a better vision of what is, we're higher up, we have a more civilized, so we can see, yes, this we're right, and these people were wrong in previous civilizations. So, but then 100 years from now, 200 years from now, again, then someone will say, well, these people in the 20th century, 21st century, in this material world, they were such foolish people because they were thinking like this and this and this because it's wrong. And take 1,000 years from now, then they'll think it's something else. So it's all relative. So how do we judge the truth about anything? And that's where we go to the scriptures. Of course, ultimately, the big illusion is soul, because these scriptures tell us you're not the body, you're the soul. After so much speculation by different philosophers in this world, if we can just get to that basic fact, that solves most of the problems in this material world. We get out of our conditioning, which is a universal habit of identifying with the material body. And then apart from that, then we have the scriptural definitions of what is right and wrong in this world. What you can do and what you cannot do. As I said, these vary throughout history. So at one time slavery was accepted, now it's not accepted. So there's so many things which are we do today which are different from what they did in previous ages. So who's right? So scripture is one method of finding out what the standards are. So in this particular case, we have the cow and the bull being attacked by the sudra. Is it right or is it wrong? So, if we look at modern society, it says, if you're doing it for the wrong reasons, maybe it's wrong, but ultimately it's okay, because we have to eat meat, so therefore we have to eventually kill the animal anyway. So it's okay. So it's okay to kill the cow. It's not okay to kill the dog and the cat, because they're our pets. So there's this type of, in the future, they'll say, well, that sounds a little ridiculous. You could kill a cow, or you could kill a goat or a buffalo, but you cannot kill a dog or a cat. And what is the reason? Simply because I keep them as my pets. So in 100 years from now, maybe that will sound very irrational. Hopefully it will. But at present, nobody really thinks about it, because habit. We've got our little dogs and our little cats, and they're nice, and we don't want to kill them. But they don't think about the cows and the goats, etc. And that we can kill them. So there's some strange standard is there. Now, what's right and what's wrong? Difficult for people to understand. We go to the scripture, then we'll see. The cow is the highest animal. The cow, and of course, in general, minimize the violence. So if you don't have to kill, don't kill. If you don't have to eat meat, don't eat meat. Don't kill the animal. And then if you do have to eat meat, then you take the lower species, not the higher species. A very general principle. And then if you want to practice spiritual life, better no meat at all. No violence. Minimize everything. Very clear principles are set up in the scriptures. So based on that, then, if we take this situation here, the cow is an animal, and under certain circumstances, you can't really kill it, but then again, it has to be an exceptional circumstance. The cow and the bull are considered to be the highest among the animals, so therefore, it's more violent than killing a lower animal. So we try to avoid killing the cow. Furthermore, we see within the Vedic society, as Prabhupada has mentioned previously, the Vaishya's occupation was taking care of the cow, not killing the cow. So when it says, Gorakha, take care of the cow, it's an occupation of the whole Vaishya community. One of the things along with the trading and farming is take care of the cow. It didn't mean to raise the cow to slaughter. It didn't mean that. And take care of the cow and use the milk. That's the interpretation. So the cow was protected by society. We still, of course, see the remnants of that in modern day in some sections in India. The sacred cow is there, and you can't do anything to the cow. He walks down the street and he eats your vegetables. Okay, we can't do anything with the cow. We can't lock them up. We can't do anything. Just shoo them away a little bit. And when other people in other countries see this, what a ridiculous habit. If the cows are wandering around like that, you lock them up and kill them or something like that. We'll say. So the Vedas have a completely different view on how to treat the animals, and especially the cow and the bull. So no violence. And here we see the personification of Kali is attacking the bull and the cow and beating them, which is not just killing but also maiming them. Here it says the bull is on one leg, trying to move on one leg, can't even move, but three legs are gone. So if he wants to kill, he should kill properly, not torture the animal as he's doing now. So we have a rather pitiful situation here with you're giving great pain to the animals, and for some reason this personification of Kali is doing this and nobody is stopping him, which means that the perception of people at that time also was indifference to the suffering. So that, of course, we can translate into the modern world as well. People are indifferent to the suffering of the comes. And it's become, we say, more acute, more serious in the last 100 years, I suppose, with commercialization of everything. So farming has become commercialized, and then raising cattle and other animals for meat has become commercialized. Raising chickens has become commercialized, which means do everything to make a profit out of them. So again, the animals suffer. They're put into a completely unnatural environments and unnatural ways of raising and growing and whatever, milking if they're milk cows, and or taking eggs out of them with their chickens, or raising them for meat, whatever, all very unnatural. And it ends up with a lot of suffering, etc. But why? Because people want to eat meat, and some people want to make profit. But then, what do people do? We don't know about it. They don't see the way they raise the chickens, or the way they raise the cows, or whatever. They don't see the slaughterhouses. They don't see any of that. They just see what's on the table and what they eat, that's all. So they don't care about that. So therefore, we have to go to Scripture to find out what are the actual rules by which we live. And one of the main rules in the Vedas is Matram Sarva Bhutani. No violence against living entities, all living entities, Sarva Bhutani. Which includes the plants as well. But as I said, there's variations on violence. So, the plants are the lowest, then are the animals, then the human being, and among the animals, then the cow is the highest. So, in this way, we have to regulate the violence, because violence is necessary to survive with the body in the material world. So we minimize that as much as possible. So that's the principle that we follow from the scriptures. And if that is followed, then we can have a peaceful society. And if we don't follow, then we end up with an unstable society. And we see that around the world. What is modern society in many countries is very unstable. As in America at the moment, very unstable. Sometimes it looks like it's prosperous, but then after a while it becomes unstable again, and it's all sorts of protests, rebellion, and whatever, or we get disease, etc. So we should carefully introspect and see where the problem is coming from. And ultimately we'll see that it is coming from the lack of higher vision, higher principles. And we can't produce those principles on our own. We can only speculate, and maybe sometimes we're right, sometimes we're wrong. So the best way is to go to the scriptures, and we'll find everything stated very nicely. Last night I read a little article by one scientist who says that we have coronavirus now, which is caused, it's a very serious because it captures so much people, and it arises because the virus jumped from the animals to the human being. And he says it's happened before with the Spanish flu, I think it's the pigs. Their virus jumped into human species, and it caused, I don't know how many millions of people, 40 million people died after the First World War. But that was huge. So he says it's going to happen again. He says probably because of the chickens this time. Already there have been a few chicken viruses that have jumped into human being. But because of the way they raise animals nowadays for meat, the possibility of the developing these viruses, breeding the viruses within the animals, is very great. And that they finally jump to the human being. Next time it does, probably, it will be 100 times more serious than the coronavirus. And you could wipe out half the population of Earth. So the only way to prevent that is stop all these slaughterhouses, stop all the raising of chickens, etc. Because it's done in such a filthy unnatural surrounding where it's very possible that the animals can spread disease among themselves so quickly because of their confinement, etc. So if the human beings are intelligent, they'll stop all this raising meat completely. It's a big problem. The viruses are going to keep coming from the animals jumping into human beings because we raise animals in this way. We have to give up that habit. Scientists do. How many people will listen to it? We don't know. But here we have the principle, and I see it very clearly here with the Bible, right here in this example. If you want to have peace in society, to stop all this attacking the animals, the defenseless animals in this way. Unfortunately, we see in Marcia's time, nobody was noticing this. It was happening, but they must have been accustomed to this. Oh, nothing wrong with this. It's happening all the time. And that, of course, is what is in the modern world also. Definitely, animals are suffering through all of this. Nobody seems to notice it. Very, very difficult to make people aware of it. If they were to look at the way the animals are raised or to see how they're killed, then of course they would stop eating meat, but they don't want to look. So we have to be awakened to the truth somehow or other. So scripture can help us in that regard. This is not even on the spiritual level. This is on the material level. Just to survive as a human race, we have to do certain things and follow certain principles. And it looks as if at the present moment, people really don't know what to do. They don't have the intelligence to put in force the proper rules. But we do have the rules already stated here in the Bhagavatam. And as I said, the principle was to minimize the violence. And when we do that, then of course we solve a lot of problems. If we stop the animal killing, this will also stop the human killing, where we have murders, wars, and whatever. It will help stop that because it takes us out of the lower good, it's out of energy. It's economically good, it's environmentally good to stop all that. Environmentalists have calculated if you stopped all the animal raising animals, what would happen? Yeah, it solve all of our economic problems and our environmental problems. There's so many advantages of following the scriptural injunctions, financially, socially, economically, environmentally, whatever. That can solve a lot of problems. The Srimad Bhagavatam would act as a good inspiration for us to approach the problems of the world in a newer way. Okay. Question.
Trying to listen. So in previous classes, you also mentioned about creating a gap is created. That's the only way that the shadow distribution in Australia is really widespread. So that seems like in game the knowledge is not going to help unless some purification is being
Well, yeah, there's various ways in which we can approach the problem. We can tell everybody, stop eating meat, but they may not listen to that directly. They say we're fanatical or whatever. The other way, of course, is gradual, and that is that we can raise their consciousness gradually. And one of the ways is prasadam or harinam, etc. I got the sutra to use previously to that even. Gradually, the consciousness of the people in general is raised up, and when they do, then they automatically are open to taking the suggestions. Of course, we see in the modern world there is, maybe not a majority, but a significant minority of people who are becoming vegetarians or vegans or whatever, which is remarkable because it wasn't there in the 1950s, remember that. In the 1960s, they would make fun of vegetarians as some weird freaky people that are, you know, eating salads all the time. That it was not considered to be, you know, logical or whatever, but some foolish thing, you know, fanatical foolish thing. But no, people are taking it serious nowadays. So there's some effect of this gradual purification of people. It takes time. Of course, one is that the Gyatso Sutra, the other is knowledge. And then even the knowledge, perhaps we have to adapt for different types of people. Yeah? So therefore we have on one level, we have the purely spiritual one with Bhagavad Gita. Then we'll have an opposite one, like the scientific level, where we try to introduce things into science and go through science to prove certain things, and then in that way get acceptable on a scientific level, whatever. There's many other ways in which we can, you know, penetrate gradually and get these ideas acceptable by people. But as I said, even scientists themselves are now saying, look, we should give up this meat eating because it's going to create, not apart from everything else, just because it's going to create possibility of creating super viruses that spread from the animals to humans, becoming greater and greater all the time with all of these different diseases. And they've seen over the last several years, of course, the Spanish flu was one, then we had SARS, and we had a few other ones, I don't know what they were. Even AIDS came from some monkey or something, whatever like that. So over the last modern era, after, you know, the First World War, Second World War, these things have come up, new diseases. And it's all related to animals, either the chickens or the pigs or whatever. And mad cow disease from the way they feed the cows, etc. So getting all these things, and it's going to increase in the future because of the way they raise the animals. It's very more likely the desires, the viruses will spread quickly among the animals, adapt in the animal, then jump to the human being. So then you say, nah, I better stop all this, but that's just from the virus point of view. Which means it's very unnatural. It's an unnatural thing to do that, and therefore gives unnatural results for the human being, which is getting to kill off the human species.
Sometimes they say it's organic meat, and that just some cold meat. The other day, and it says, it was quite shocking, it says beef, non-hormones.
Organic beef or something, yeah, or organic chicken, or what is it, free-range chickens or whatever, rather than cooped-up chickens. I guess that's a step in the right direction. Even the Vedas are practical, so for the lower caste, they could eat meat, but under restrictions again. We see even most religions have that. They eat meat, but then they have a little bit of restrictions, like the Catholics on Friday, they wouldn't eat meat. No meat on Friday, only fish. But no meat on Friday, so that's like a little bit of renunciation. And then among the Jews and the Islamic people, Muslims, then there is, if you want to eat the meat, then you have to bleed it first and do something, go through a ritual before you do it. So it's not just kill the animal and eat it. You know, there's some ritual involved. So some little restriction is there. And then we have in the Vedas, we have, you have to offer it first, so you offer it to Kali. Then you offer the goat to Kali, and then you eat it, whatever like that. So there's some restrictions on the lower level, or in most cultures of the world, there is some sort of restriction. And we see, of course, in societies up until the probably late 18th century or 20th century, 19th, 20th century, even among people in European countries, meat eating was quite limited. And then suddenly they said, oh, we're all undernourished. And then they put in the textbooks of the kids, you know, you got to eat this meat and that meat and this protein and all that. And they started, you know, marketing protein more and meat from protein, protein from meat people. In the last, probably 1950s or something like that. And everybody gets indoctrinated, you have to eat more meat like that. So in this way, it keeps increasing artificially even. And so and they were doing it, but limited, just like in the Vedic culture. Okay, you could do it, but limited again. So it wasn't a big commercial venture. And again, the kshatriyas could go out and kill animals, and they could use those for sacrifices and then for eating also. But again, it's limited. But now it's commonplace. It's like, you have to eat it. So it's become quite different in the modern world. And then consequently, it upsets the whole balance of material nature and whatever. And they were prone to get more viruses and diseases from that because of the way they do it.
Hearing Shiva say at some point that just by becoming vegetarian doesn't solve the problem. I think I heard him say also like not recommending the devotees like trying to propagate vegetarianism or veganism separate from Krishna consciousness. I'm wondering if that's like an absolute principle or if it's still something maybe on the side you can do to teach people at least basic principles,
Obviously, it's still vegetarian, non-vegetarian. It's something to do with the material world. It's good for environment, it's good for finance and economics, good for your health. These are all material things. And ultimately, you can get the sattva gun, but that's material again. So ultimately, it's not spiritual, so it's not our ultimate purpose. Our ultimate purpose is realize that you're the soul and you're the servant of Krishna. So that's a much higher level. But the people in the material world are stuck on the lower levels, so all we can do is maybe just for some of them who don't have any spiritual inclination or don't have any sattvic mentality or no agata sukritis, then all we can do is maybe try to raise them up a little bit from the lower modes to the higher modes by diet and things like this. It can help a little bit and put them in that direction. It's definitely not a complete solution because you can have a vegetarian society, which is also demonic in one sense. So, demonic varnashram system, a sort of varnashram system. They can do everything very nicely, but at the same time, it's completely atheistic. So you can go off in another direction like that. Have people who are vegetarian and very clever and intelligent, they end up doing all sorts of other strange things because of they don't have no connection with the Supreme Lord, so they can be over intelligent and try to do things for the human race, which are end up in disaster also. So definitely you have to connect all of this to spiritual life as well. Right? So it's not an end all, or it's not a solution to everything, but can also be appreciated by some, you know, atheists or whatever, because they can also, like scientists, they can also see that it's preferable not to have all these slaughterhouses and commercial stuff like this. For the health, for the environment, for the viruses, etc. It solves a lot of problems. So it's just one element. There's not an absolute element, but it's definitely favorable for spiritual development. People do minimize their meat intake. Okay. Hare Krishna.